Also tonight, the Boston Celtics play Game 2 of their NBA playoff series against the Cleveland Cavaliers. With more on that, we're joined on the phone by Rich Levine of Comcast Sportsnet New England. Rich, welcome back to downtown, and tell us about the Celtics meal they're serving up to the fans. You're calling it a compliment sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was weird. You know, I was looking at the box score from Game 1, and you know, you see, I saw obviously the Celtics won the first quarter. I mean, they're up seven with about 9 minutes left. And then I noticed that they had won the fourth quarter too. So it's like you can't ask for much more than to win a quarter, right? I mean, ultimately. But if you're breaking down the game, if you win a quarter, you're doing your job. So they won the first and the fourth. I call it like the compliment sandwich. You know, it's like the old the old management ploy, and you gotta tell something. You have to criticize an employee. You go in first and you say something nice to them, and then you strategically drop in the criticism or the bad news, and then you wrap it up nicely with saying something nice at the end. And supposedly it's supposed to brace the impact of whatever horrible news you had to drop on them. And that was kind of how I felt. After game one, they obviously started off really, really well. You can't ask for much more. I mean, anyone would have taken 38-31 with 9 minutes left and a half. And to then, ultimately go down 20 points in the third quarter and then get that down to six, I think, at its lowest point. That's impressive too. But, what happened in the middle there? The 7 point lead to the 20 point deficit. That was pretty terrifying. And I think that was really, that is the difference in the series. When you look forward, the fact that I think the Cavs know that they can play, 15 to 17 minutes of really good basketball or Cavs basketball, and can, essentially beat the Celtics is a little scary, but trying to be a little optimistic, but, it's a 2-7, it's a below 500 team versus a 50 win team with the best player in the world. So it's tough, but tonight should be fun. It's fun having them in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Well, so if the middle of the game was the meat of the compliment sandwich, is there a way to get a little more bread tonight and have the Celtics be competitive, I don't know, maybe for three quarters?
Yeah, right, baby steps, right?
Right.
And then when we come home for the third game, then we'll be ready.
Exactly.
But, I think, the interesting thing about it is, Kyrie Irving went unconscious, right? It's interesting. So it was 38-31, 9 minutes left. He hits his first three-pointer of the game at that point to make it 38-34. It goes on to hit four more in a row. So he hit five in a row total over a 9 minute span, or 12 minute span between the second and third quarter, including that buzzer beater at the end of the first half. That made it, I think, a 7 point game, which is just a killer emotionally and, in terms of the score. So, that's sort of a little bit of a wild card. Like, what if, he's not, possessed by Larry Bird, for that period of time? If he misses like one or two of those shots, is it a little bit closer? At the same time, I think, the Celtics played their game in those first 15 minutes when they were building that lead. And I think, their game is you can't turn the ball over, right? You can't give Cleveland any more opportunities than they already have, because with just the basic opportunities, they're going to be great. It's the old saying, it's a make miss lead, as boring as that is, but they made some shots. Meanwhile, Cleveland got a lot of open shots. I mean, Kevin Love was horrible in the first half, missed a lot of open shots. J.R. Smith was horrible, and that's not something I think you can necessarily count on moving forward. But I tell you, one thing I would like to see, and it's weird to say it because Kelly Olynyk was so great offensively when he came in there in game one, but Tyler Zeller, he's the only guy on this team, and that's kind of scary to say this, but he's the only guy on this team that presents any sort of rim protection. He's not necessarily great at it, but he's much better than any other option. And you see, when Olynyk gets in there against like a Tristan Thompson, or he didn't go up against Mozgov quite as much, but when Zeller is out there, is not out there, I mean, the second chance points is, it's basically a turnover for the Celtics when they give up the second chance opportunity to Cleveland. So I think that's something, I'm sure Brad Stevens is targeting moving forward, but again, you can only do so much with the talent that you have.
Yeah, and clearly you're not going to stop LeBron. I'm not sure you can stop Kyrie Irving. Can they stop Kevin Love? Can they focus on one of the big three and try to eliminate that option?
Yeah, you know, I think that Kevin Love has done like a decent enough job of kind of like limiting himself, or maybe David Blatt. You know, it's hard because so Kevin Love is essentially Chris Bosh. He's Ray Allen. You know, he's the third guy in this big three who has had to take the biggest, you know, step outside of himself, or at least what he's used to in adjusting. And so I think that, you know, he's when you think back to last night or just the season in general, there have been very few games where Kevin Love has like taken over, you know, the way that he had maybe in the past. And most of his, you know, when he has a good game, it's sort of the same way that like a J.R. Smith has a good game, where he just gets lost in, you know, in the rotation and hits a couple threes, or, you know, he can still crash the boards pretty well and get some second chance points. I mean, I think it's, you know, Kyrie Irving is an unbelievable player. He's one of the best point guards in the league. He's not going to do what he did game one every single night. So I think in that sense, it's like, you know, maybe that the defensive mentality or approach that the Celtics took in terms of, like you said, matching up to the big three. You know, I don't know if I would change too much. I mean, you held LeBron to 18 points, and, you know, there was, like I said, there was that sort of 12-minute period where Kyrie kind of left his body. And that's the thing. He hit 5 3-pointers in a row, and I went back and watched. There's only one. There was one 3-pointer where Kevin Turner kind of got lazy on a rotation and left him, you know, had a couple steps and Kyrie hit it. But I mean, Marcus Smart was right in his face on two of them. I think Turner was right in his face in the other two. They had played good defense. The guy just wasn't missing. And when Kyrie Irving's in that mode, you're just going to let it happen. So, yeah, I think you stay with what you got. You hope that Crowder and Bass and, you know, a little bit of Turner can, like you said, you're not going to stop LeBron James, but at least make him work a little bit. You know, make him so he's maybe a little bit tired by the end of the game or whatever it is. And just hope that Kyrie doesn't go on another streak like that.
We're talking with Rich LaVine at Comcast SportsNet. It's such a bizarre feeling to have a Boston sports team in the playoffs and have this relaxed attitude that I think certainly fans and a lot of the media has, that this is icing on the cake, and if they can get one game. I can't recall any other Boston team in the playoffs and folks saying, well, if they could just win one, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, and I agree. It's kind of cool. And, like, it's weird because, you know, it's a sign of the times, I guess, in a sense, or at least for the Celtics, because, you know, of the crew, of the you know, the teams that sort of define the decade of dominance, if you want to say. Like, you know, the Red Sox, even though they've had a couple last-place finishes, they're never actually rebuilding because they have the money and they're always going to have those big guys. The Patriots, you know, as long as Tom and Bill are there, they're not rebuilding. And the Bruins, I mean, who knows what's going to happen next to them? You know, maybe this is the start of a process, depending on who they hire and what they do with Claude Julien. But, you know, this is the first team since, you know, title or bust mentality that has sort of made the playoffs sort of on the way back up. So it's cool. Yeah, it's very exciting. They have literally nothing to lose. And on top of that, it's just such a likable team. I mean, it's funny. It's like, you know, as a writer or whatever, so, you know, every once in a while it's nice to have a guy on a team that's like sort of fun to pick on, you know, not like in a mean way, but just like jokingly. And, you know, Evan Turner sort of, he came into the year kind of as that guy, but, like, you know, with him running sometimes, I want to like try to sneak in a joke into a call. There's no one that's even fun to joke about, because they try really hard to sort of, you know, you'd expect that from a player, but you don't always get that. They try so hard, they seem to care so much. They play selfless basketball, and they seem to not only like playing together, but really, you know, respect their coach and do what they said. So yeah, I mean, it's too bad. I like that they got LeBron. I know a lot of people want Atlanta, and, you know, I don't think that would have been as cool, because every single game would have been on, you know, NBA TV, and it would have been the worst possible time. But yes, they got the Sunday primetime game, Sunday afternoon. Now they have, you know, Marv Albert doing the game tonight on TNT. You get the big names and the big stage, and I think it's great. And if they win one, maybe two, well, it's tough, because if they win two, then you got to talk yourself into the fact that they can maybe win the series and right. Get your hopes up, and that's something different than what we're talking about. But it'd be nice to get one game, just to have that feeling at the Garden. Plus, we want Kevin Love to experience the Garden at its highest moment in the playoffs, just to sort of indirectly sell him on on leaving LeBron next year and come and play for Brad. So that would be nice, too.
Well, absolutely. Speaking of the coach, fourth in the coach of the year voting for Brad Stevens. Now, I didn't expect him to win, but certainly he did a better job than Jason Kidd.
Yeah, you know, and it's just like, it's tough because Jason Kidd is just such a unlikable, you know, human being. And he's a good coach. You know, just everything you know about him outside of the court is just kind of deplorable. So it's you know, not fun to root for him. But, yeah, you know, it's weird because I think if you had done like a half, you know, at the All-Star break, you know, the coach of the year, I think Jason Kidd, he had the Bucks in a great position. I mean, I don't know if they were necessarily much better in the standings, but I think they finished maybe 42-40 or 40-40. I think it was 42-40. You know, they were awful after the trade deadline because, you know, they didn't mix up the roster a little bit. Yeah, but he had a really young team. Did they make the playoffs last year? No, they didn't, of course not, because they got Jabari Parker. But, yeah, he did. I didn't have too much of a problem. I made a joke about it on Twitter, but I know that you know, Kidd did a decent job of moving forward. You know, if you're picking a coach for the next, you know, 5 years, I mean, there are very few that I would take over Brad Stevens, and certainly I would take Stevens over Jason Kidd. I just think, and this is just the beginning, you know, and I had written this a month or so ago. I think that this is sort of going to be the biggest part of the Celtics making the playoffs and the biggest sort of long-term advantage is that, listen, every time the Celtics are mentioned in the coverage this week, next week, as long as they're still alive, everyone's talking about Brad Stevens because that's really, you know, who else are you really going to talk about? Isaiah Thomas, cool, but Stevens is why they're here. He is becoming the face of this team, and players are going to want to come play for him because you think of the guys that have come in here, you know, the Jordan Crawfords, the Evan Turners, you know, the problems, you know, Rondos. He's not had a problem with a player. And there's been no bad words said about him. Everyone that leaves here and plays for him just says that they respect the hell out of him, and they want to run through a wall for the guy. So, I mean, moving forward, he is, you know, the centerpiece. He is the free agent draw, I think.
You can read Rich Levine's brand new column on that Celtics compliment sandwich. It's online at CSNNE.com. Rich, always great talking with you. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, you too, Rich. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Rich Levine with us here on Downtown.